Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, so we had a little commotion in the studio beforehand. I'll accept full responsibility for that for legal reasons. But you're in for a treat here this morning. We have this could be our best show. Is this our best show, Ryan?
I think so. We got a great group of people here today.
No pressure on our guests or whatever, yeah. But by the way, Ryan McPherson is our engineer co-host or engineering producing for us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You had a great weekend?
Yeah, great weekend.
Yeah, you were. How's your dog doing, by the way?
She cut her foot over the weekend. I had to do a little home doctoring, but she's on the mend now. Yeah, doing real good.
Nice. Yeah, she'll be running the 10K before
no problem.
Before anytime soon. All right, so. So I'm Rich Casanova, your host here for this morning's show, and we're pleasantly surprised to have a co-host here, Joanne, joining us this morning. Joanne, how are you?
I'm doing terrific, fresh off a vacation in England.
Right. A little bragging is due, right?
Absolutely.
You were in London for how long?
We were in London for 4 days and in the Bath countryside for 7 days.
Nice. And a little bit of work, your husband, but you had other family over there?
No family, just took my son, and we had some playtime while he was working.
Nice, nice. And then, and we were talking about before the show, you were there just on the same weekend that our beloved Falcons were playing.
We sure were. Right?
Formerly beloved, I don't know.
That's right.
The weekend prior, there were signs everywhere in Piccadilly Circus and Trafalgar, you know, announcing the NFL coming to London.
How do you explain 21-0? Yeah.
No explanation.
Yeah, a lot of people groaning in the studio here. Yeah, that's we don't normally talk sports and politics, but we made a little exception there for you. We're all about business. And speaking of business, you've been on the show before. We have a kind of an announcement to make here. But before we get into the announcement, tell our listeners a little bit about Buckhead Magazine and Simply Buckhead and what's if they're not familiar with it.
Sure thing. Simply Buckhead Magazine is almost 5 years old. We launched in 2010. And we publish 24,000 copies of our magazine 8 times a year with great cover stories and themes and trying to expose the best and brightest that Buckhead and Brookhaven have to offer.
Yeah, even before we opened our studio, it was one of the first publications I picked up. I remember you had on the cover was some chefs. It was a whole story about the what's going on in Buckhead, right?
Yep, absolutely. It was a tie-in to Pano Caratassos and his many years of mentoring in Buckhead Life Restaurant Group.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of an icon in the industry here. And then, and it's available where?
We're available in about 250 locations in the Buckhead and Brookhaven market. The entire list is on our website under Find a Copy. Plug in your zip code, and you'll find a location near you.
And then finally, a while back we had a show. You had a couple of ladies in from the Bold Women of Buckhead, right? Was a cover.
I sure did.
And then last month, or the current issue is
this month's issue is the men's issue with Paul Millsap from the Atlanta Hawks on the cover.
Yeah, this week. I mean, you do 8 for a year. You don't want to be doing weekly.
No,
yeah.
No.
Okay, so and then. Are we able to tease next month's issue or not officially yet?
Yes, no, we can. We're actually proofing the magazine today, and it will be all about Buckhead's do-gooders.
Oh.
And lots of great categories and people doing wonderful things, and they typically are under the radar, not necessarily being given the special press that they should have.
And the spotlight or whatever, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then finally, we do have an exciting announcement here for Buckhead Business Radio X. And you want to share with our audience what's coming next month?
We'd love to. Starting November 4th, every Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m., we'll be hosting a one-hour radio show, Simply Buckhead Radio. And we'll be bringing in some of our advertisers and editorial subjects and try to bring you some great news from all over the Buckhead Brookhaven market.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. And I think
too.
So you're going to spotlight some of the people behind the scenes,
yes,
right?
Yes, we thought it would be a great time to introduce our team and let all of our listeners get to know them better.
Okay, and speaking of teams, we have for those just tuning in, we have a great show lined up here this morning. We have some folks in here for going to talk to us about events going on and organizations for women's breast cancer. Ladies, welcome to the studio. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
Very good, thank you.
And we have Vera...
Vera Starks. I'm with the Pink Pump Soiree.
Okay. And also joining us is Sonia.
Yes, I'm Sandra Rogers, Vice President of Atlanta Chapter of Sisters Network, Inc.
And you have a great story you're going to share with us this morning, apparently, yeah.
Yes, I am a survivor, and our group is ran by survivors. I'm the Vice President. Diana Galloway is the President, and she's a survivor as well. My story started August 2010th on my birthday.
Well, don't tell too much whenever.
I know.
That's just a teaser for radio.
Okay, I'll come back to that.
Okay, nice. Well, welcome to the show. And Mark's also joining us this morning. Mark Mayette?
Yes.
All right, and your claim to fame is?
Well, during the day, I'm with a group called the Entrepreneur Source, help the entrepreneurs become entrepreneurs. And then the night, I host an event called Network Over 40, exactly. Atlanta.
Raise your hand, all those over 40 in the studio. Yeah, yeah. You're not over 40, are you? Yeah, okay. All right. And then also joining us, speaking of food, although there was apparently the rumor is there's no samples in the studio, but Steve Shimada is joining us. I'll also be on the air here this morning talking to about some exciting stuff going on with, what is it, three restaurants you're overseeing now? Yeah. Okay, one restaurant, two bars. Yeah, so we stand corrected. All right, and then so that's kind of a quick roll call of our guest here this morning on the show. But our first guest sitting right beside me, I'm excited to introduce, is Victor Antonio. Victor, been sitting patiently. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we've met on LinkedIn. We're first time meeting in person, right?
That's correct.
And I'm pleasure to have you. I know you travel quite a bit, right?
Yeah, I feel bad. I canceled several times on you, haven't I?
That's fine, yeah.
Sorry.
You waited till we have a packed house. You're like, I don't just want to show up if just Rich is going to be here. Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself and your, I know we're going to get into your business and how you're changing things in the motivational arena and keynote speaking and in sales coaching and training. Matter of fact, I read your whole post yesterday about the, I don't know if it was a true story or not, but about the 13-year-old selling you
true story.
Candy
true story.
Bars at the gas station.
Yep.
Yeah.
True story.
Well, maybe we'll have time. We'll come back to that. But on the, so your backstory, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Backstory, family's originally from Puerto Rico, but I was born and raised in Chicago near the Cabrini housing projects, the hood. So we're talking food stamps, government cheese, powdered milk, as I always say.
Wow.
And so we were poor, so mom said, go to school, get the education, get the J-O-B. So I went to school, got the education, got the J-O-B, got an electrical engineering degree, BS in electrical engineering, got an MBA. Went into corporate America, thought it was all about making money. You know, when you're poor, you need money, you want to go make money. And so got into the job, 3 years into the gig, I'm like, I'm not liking this, but you're so into it already, you got to stay there. So eventually I moved around quite a bit, did engineering, did application engineering, went to customer service. One day I decided to do sales, and that's when life just changed for me.
What was your first sales job?
The first sales job was I was an assistant sales manager, and I was selling into Latin America. So it was the first time I got to travel throughout Latin America.
Okay.
And that was interesting because I got to use my Spanish skills, my technical skills.
Right.
And you, when you start seeing things outside the United States, you really learn to appreciate that we live in a great country. You know, all you got to do is travel to see this. And so after that, what happened was I got into sales, did well, became, you know, VP of sales Latin America, then moved into a VP role, president sales and marketing, $420 million company.
And hey, what type of widget was that?
That was a big widget. It was a very big widget.
With a capital W?
Yeah. Capital W. And so one day, May 9, 2001, 3:48 p.m., yes, it's down to that time, I decided to quit and just call it quits. And I decided I wanted to be a speaker, wanted to write books. I'm dying to hear Mark talk about entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs because I learned the hard way. I had an MBA. I knew everything about money, but didn't know how to make money, if you know what I mean. And so what happened is I quit. First year, I was almost dead broke. Went from a big salary to making maybe $17,000 a year. 1-7. Yeah, talk about the fall from grace. And then I learned how to be an entrepreneur, learned how to market myself. And fast forward, now I get to travel around the world speaking, you know, different countries.
Well, yeah,
and
speaking of fast forward, so you've been through a lot in sales, in the sales arena. Mm-hmm. So what's your take on how things have changed since you've closed your first deal?
Oh, big time. I think the majority of sales programs I see today are just, in my opinion, pathetic, if I could be so blunt. And it's because of one thing. The internet changed how selling occurs. You know, there was pre-internet, then there's post-internet. If you're still selling the way you used to sell, like you're the best, you're the greatest, hey, here it is, you're going to get screwed on this. And because the buyer today has changed, they buy differently. They're more informed. I think Google came out with an interesting stat that says on average, consumers research about 10 sources of information before they contact you. The CEB did a study. Their buyers are now 57% into the buying process before they contact you. What does that all mean? That they're much smarter by the time they come to you. And if you try to sell them the old-fashioned way, that slick salesperson, it's not going to work. How buyers buy, how we make decisions, even how we shop online has changed. And so if you don't adjust your buying process to that, then guess what? You're not going to sell as much as you used to.
Actually, I just had a tweet from online. A big friend of the show, fan of the show, was asking about you. They heard you were from Chicago. Can you Vienna beef? Does that resonate?
Oh yeah,
with you?
Man, that's hot dog time, man. Yeah. Well, by the way, Damon, Western, and Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what that means.
I'm glad we kind of put you on the spot. I'm glad you had great things to say because he's also big time
Chicago hot
guy.
Dogs are the best, better than Boston, I believe.
I think he covers it's Jim Silverman actually with Vienna Beef, but he covers the whole Eastern Seaboard. So So I'm glad you said good things about Vienna Beef. That was a little could have put me in a bad position there. Okay, so meanwhile,
could have gone either way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So meanwhile, your book talks about why people buy, maybe why they don't buy. I mean, speak to that.
I started looking at the if you look at all the books, you go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Amazon, 98% of all the books you'll read are dedicated to how to sell. But as I just highlighted, everything's changed. So I started looking at the other side of the equation is how do people make buying decisions? And people don't want to be pushed or pressured into a buy, but if you can influence them, nudge them, as I say, to make the right decision, the one you've already predetermined for them, then now you're selling in a different way. And so my book, Finding the Why and How People Buy, it's really just how do people buy? How do they make buying decisions? How does their brain work? When it comes to making a buying decision. And, it works whether you're selling a widget or whether you're in a restaurant selling to customers. I can give you several examples of how you can actually influence buyers to buy higher menu items or more products to upsell them. So there's different ways that you can use it.
I mean, do you believe in that adage? I think you just kind of spoke to that, but this adage of people hate to be sold, but they love to buy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that.
Yeah, what's your take on that?
I kind of hate that statement.
Really?
I hate cliches like that because they're kind of dumb. Sorry if I'm being so
No,
blunt.
No,
That's
no. I'm asking your opinion. I'm glad that you love Chicago dogs. Yeah. We're clear from there,
It's so pedantic. It's almost like talking down to consumers. We don't like to be sold, but we like to buy. Yeah. People want to buy what they need. I think the salesperson today has one responsibility, is to really highlight the value of what they offer. I believe in quid pro quo. If I offer you something good, I'm going to charge you the right amount of money. And if you see the value, my job is to educate you on what that is. Today, as salespeople, we become lazy. It's like, here's our product, here's our feature, here's our benefit, here's our gain. But we never talk about the value it provides. So when you're looking at a corporation, for example, simple sales pitch. If I am talking, I walk into any CEO's office today. Any CEO's office today, and he only has three concerns. That's it, three concerns. Let's not complicate this. Right, yeah. Increase the revenue, reduce the cost, or expand their market share. That's it. And if your product or service can't tie back to that, then you can't sell.
Yeah.
That's all they care about.
So, Joanne, are you buying what he's selling there? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I am. I noticed that, some of the initial things you're talking about are about people, what motivates the buyers and the people. But does your book also speak directly to the salesperson, or is it more a teaching tool to let them know how to do it better?
It's both, depending on which book you read. I have 12 books, so depending on which book you read. And then on my website, there's like 20 different sales training programs. By the way, all for free on the website. And so really, on one side, I talk about the sales process, which is how to sell. But within the sales process, you know how you got to get the part where you got to do the presentation? See, even the presentation itself is a sales process, how you present the product. So for example, here's a study, very quick study. So if I showed you this cup and I had water filled up halfway, would you say it's half empty or half full? What would you say?
It's supposed to be half full.
Right, because you're an optimist. That's what an optimist would say. And then, but the real answer is it depends. For example, one study showed that I walk into a group of people like yourself, just a group of people, and I walk in and I fill the cup up. And then I empty it out halfway. And then I ask you, is it half empty or half full? Most people say it's half empty. I walk into another room. Now this time I have an empty cup and I fill it halfway. Most people say it's what?
Half full.
Half full. Because sequence is important. So within the presentation, what I show you first versus what I show you second can really influence how you perceive something. When you begin to incorporate some of these simple tools into a process, then you begin to understand selling.
Wow. Well, we have a fantastic sales team ourselves, but I think we can all learn from the tools that you have available. I had no idea you had 12 books, so that's very exciting. And we'll be sure to look at your book and share it with my team.
Cool.
And so, Victor, can you tell us how our readers, our listeners can follow up with you? I'm so tuned into the print magazine, but can you tell us how our listeners can find you on the internet or
media? If you go to victorantonio.com, you should just go on the webpage and you'll see it says, 20 video training programs, anything from the sales process, how to present, how to position your products, how customers buy. And then, the books are available as well, all free downloadable. By the way, no email required. So this is not about me trying to get your email. The best way to keep up with me really is on YouTube, /salesinfluence. Right now, we just crossed the 2 million view mark. on the channel. Wow. We got about 16,000 subscribers, and that's growing very quickly. So that's where you'll find all the new videos.
I saw a couple of your videos quite some time ago. I forget what university. I think it was up north, but I was just watching, and I saw the crowd just slowly kind of like come around to, and by in pretty short order, they were just like standing on their chairs.
I have a very different speaking style, so for anybody who sees me,
it caught me off guard.
For the first 3 to 5 minutes, it's almost like they're going through audience vertigo.
They're
like, well, what the hell is this? Because they're waiting for the typical motivational speaker. When I don't give them that, they're like, what is this?
Right.
3 to 5 minutes in, then they're hooked.
Steve Jobs meets Richard Branson, and
something like that. I don't know if I'd describe it like that, but sure.
All right, well, thanks again for being on the show. It was a
pleasure.
Thank
you very much, guys. Thank you.
If we have some time, maybe we'll do a little roundtable afterwards. So, Joanne, who do we have up next?
Yes, our next guest is Vera Starks, and Vera is an attorney with law offices in Atlanta, Georgia, and she is also the founder of the Pink Pump Soiree charitable event. So, Vera, what can you tell us about how this event began?
Well, basically, the story behind Pink Pumps is... my family, I have a history in my family of breast cancer, and I have an aunt who passed away at 49 from breast cancer, and I have a cousin who passed away actually in March of this year to breast cancer. And so I was younger when my aunt passed away, and I didn't realize the financial struggles that she had during that time until I spoke with my mom, and she was telling me that my aunt... really didn't want to have to ask for any assistance, but she had to stop working and so forth. And so the Pink Pump Soiree was birthed out of that frustration that I felt from the fact that not only was my aunt having to deal with, you know, getting better and trying to focus on healing, but she also had to worry about bills because she was unable to work while going through recovery and treatment. And I just said, I don't want anybody else to have to experience that. And so I just decided that I was going to Pink Pump Soiree has popped into my mind. and I sought out Sisters Network in Atlanta to be the charity that the Pink Pump Soiree is going to benefit. And so we decided to host an event on November 6th at the M. Rich Center. From 6:30 to 9 to raise funds for breast cancer survivors who are going through treatment and recovery and to step into the gap and financially support them while they are going through the recovery process.
Okay. Well, I also wanted to mention most folks will also be familiar with the fact that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And the guest here of Vera is Sonja Rogers, and she's also the vice president of Sisters Network, and their annual breast cancer walk was also held on October 4th in Fayetteville, Georgia. So we wanted to introduce Sonja also and find out a little bit about your backstory.
All right. Thank you so much for having us. Sisters Network Atlanta is a new organization. We're a year old, but we're part of the 20-year chapter that Sisters Network in Houston, Texas. It was founded by Karen Jackson 21 years ago as a survivor, and I am a survivor of 4 years and a second-generation survivor. My mother is a 30-year survivor.
Wow.
So, so it's very near and dear to my heart. And as far as our organization, we are here to spread information about early detection. We have a key word that's called Stop the Silence. It's not a shame to have breast cancer. And we want to share that story a little bit about how I found out about breast cancer in my life. I was just looking, you know, at myself on vacation. Happened to be in August when my birthday is and was relaxed. And I know my mother had, you know, breast cancer. I've been getting mammograms, skipped a few. Yeah, I'm still in, you know, my late 40s. and I didn't think it was a big deal, but then I noticed something different, and I was really, you know, really scared. So Monday from the Sunday, I just, you know, went to my first doctor, who was my OBGYN, and, you know, within a week, I was diagnosed with stage 3B inflammatory breast cancer. So it does change your life. I happened to be working a full-time job, very, you know, lucrative job at a bank. My husband was in internet banking. So we had good, you know, salaries. But when you're told you have a life-threatening illness, everything stops. And so you have to be treated. And I was on chemo within 5 days of that diagnosis.
Wow.
And so then from there, you go to half salary, you know, you do your thing. And, you know, from that point on, you just live your life and you get treated. So now I'm on the other side, very, very healthy, and no evidence of the disease for 4 years. And so hopefully, you know, 5-year mark will be coming up next year, and we'll do that. So with Sisters Network Atlanta, we are a group of five. We have Diana Galloway is the president. I'm the vice president. We have a treasurer, Gail Sandifer. We have a member chair, Leticia Price, and we also have our secretary. And so we are out here spreading the word, and our main goal to be incorporated through the Pink Pumps Array's gift to us on November 6th when we go to this event and share our stories again is to fund the Breast Cancer Assistance Program. It's called BCAP. And what that does is it's money, and it goes right to the survivor. So if they need a phone bill paid, light bill, you know, their mortgage, we want to have that money available to help real people.
So is this a new chapter within the network? There's other chapters across the country?
Absolutely.
Out of Texas, is it originally? Or where?
Houston, yes. Texas. Houston,
yeah. So
it's 40 plus. 43 was that chapter 2 weeks ago we were in Houston our conference.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I'm noticing from what you're speaking about is that the fact that the money goes directly to the survivors instead of just going to a generic breast cancer awareness type of fund.
Absolutely.
Makes you different from other charities because, as you know, there are a number of them here in Atlanta.
Yeah, so it's not so much for research, whatever, but it's to help the actual people that need it right there.
Like, yes.
And kind of on your story, it is, you know, a shock that one day life is going great, and then
absolutely.
Not only what you're hit with, but then the financial stress on top of that, right?
Yes. Well, one of the other questions that I had is, what kind of opportunities do other businesses have to be able to support you? Do you look for partners to help sponsor you?
Absolutely.
What kind of things are you looking for?
Yes. As a growing chapter in, 501(c), they get a tax deduction. They can become partners with us. We had a walk where we had a significant turnout. We had different levels of support. So just like in any other organization, you can support us small or large, and it will go directly back to the community.
And one of the things that we're looking to try to do, not just with Pink Pumps, but, I really believe that businesses don't just have to give the charity, but they can be a charitable business and that they can have purpose in the money that they make and in their practice. One of my themes for my practice is a practice with a purpose. And so, you know, I think that there are a lot of entrepreneurs and owners of businesses that can have a social cause as well, and that they can meld that with their business purpose as well, and so that they can be a charitable business and not just a business that gives to charity.
I'm an absolutely firm believer in that. We sponsor two charities year-round, and they're very important to us, and we help them not just with the visibility we can give them, but we actually volunteer and are a part of what they're doing.
Absolutely. We need that. We would love to have that. Be adopted.
Terrific. Well, can you ladies tell us how we can find out more about the Pink Pump Soiree?
Yes. You can go to www.pinkpumpssoiree.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Pink Pumps. And you can also go to the Sisters Network website, which is
www.sistersnetworkatlanta.com. And you can find all of our information and current and ongoing projects there. We're also on Twitter. We are Sisters Network ATL1. We're also on Facebook, which is Atlanta Southern Region. And we're also on Instagram at Sisters Network ATL.
Well, terrific. You've hit all of the social media patterns. And we want to thank Vera and Sonja for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure having you here, and great news to hear about your story and the turnout there.
Thank you so much.
And also, a round of applause. Yeah, nice. Well done.
Thank you.
And great work you're doing, yeah. So also now joining us in the studio, going to switch gears here, Mark Mayette. Is joining us in the studio. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
You are correct.
So
sir.
It is Mark?
It is Mark.
All right. So I've never used that one before. That was pretty good, right?
Yeah, that one's pretty
Make
good.
A note of that, Ryan. Can you put that in the records? Yeah.
M-A-R-K.
Right.
Mark.
Nice. Okay. So you're the owner and area developer, coach for Entrepreneurs Source. And you help, I'll let you expand on it, but as I understand, you help people build rewarding business careers, help them kind of explore options and opportunities, and it's a no-fee discovery, kind of a consultant role, if you will, right? But prior to that, which I think is kind of cool, because a lot of people can say, well, I think, you know, let's talk about being a business in business. But you, you know, your background, 24 years in Fortune 500 companies, you're an advisor, catalyst, coach, connector, influencer, pioneer, professional ice skater. I don't know what else to include on your titles. But seriously, you have a BA from Boston University, MBA from Emory. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Did I do a pretty good job? Do we need to backpedal on the explanation of your elevator pitch of what you're doing?
No. Well, as I think the simplest way is, you know, I help the entrepreneurs become entrepreneurs.
Nice, love
nice.
That.
Yeah, I like that.
Great tag. I wish I'd met you 5 years ago.
Well, you know, for legal, did you sign off? Because we can steal any great quotes that are heard in the studio here. Okay, so tell us about the Entrepreneurs Source. Now, we've known each other for a little while, and I've met at a number of networking events and followed a little bit of what's going on. But what's the idea behind it, and maybe what you're currently doing to help kind of further that?
Well, earlier in the program, we learned about Victor's background, and Victor's the archetype of folks that generally will be about 75% of all working employees. 75% have a motivation to become self-sufficient, and maybe that might involve entrepreneurship. 5% actually act on it.
Yeah, they would walk away, you know, yeah.
And so, which explains why over 70% of all employees are disengaged, which explains why companies are always struggling with how do we engage our employees? Well, frankly, they don't want to be there. And the only reason why they're there is because they get health care or they have a steady paycheck, and it takes a lot of courage to be able to walk away from a steady paycheck and benefits. And that's why 5% actually act on it.
Yeah, I just saw like a 5-page article just on that topic, and the cover had some folks at work, and says, you know, engage your employees. And I thought maybe they're getting married or something, or whatever the deal was. That seemed a little odd or incorrect. But but no, the entire is like 5 pages just on this topic of, you know, it's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And with all the startup hoo-ha going on and everything else, I mean, people. But I don't. What do you think? What do you attribute those other 70% are not willing to take on becoming an entrepreneur? What's the holdback?
The biggest reason, if you want to boil it down to one area, bundle it into one area, it's fear. Which I use as an acronym for false evidence appearing real.
Okay.
So it's they let their head get in their way of really making a decision that in the long term they would be better suited to really go forward in.
Well, I mean, they often say looking back is the best thing I did, but it's, you know, it's one thing to have a hindsight. So is that where you come in? You kind of like dispel some of these fears and educate them? I mean, what's the day in the life look like?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the process? I said,
yep.
Mark, I'm at this job. I love it, but I want to put my own brand out there.
Yeah. Well, it, to your point, I mean, when somebody gets to that fork in the road that they eventually need to take, we put them through a discovery experience that takes about 2 to 3 hours over the course of a few appointments, which at the end, we provide clarity as to whether or not entrepreneurship or a different vehicle of entrepreneurship would make sense for them.
Because it might not.
It might not.
Oh, it sounds all romantic and sexy and exciting and whatever. And they're like, so Mark, I got to do this, this, and this, and this, and business plans, and maybe my job's not looking that bad, right?
Right.
Mark, one question I'd have for you also. You're consulting with these folks individually and, you know, helping them determine whether entrepreneurship is for them. Once you've determined that they are a great candidate, do you then have resources to refer them to specific folks that you might recommend or work with?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, people say, well, if you're not charging me a fee to put me through discovery, then how are you putting bread and food on your table? If at the end of the discovery it seems to make sense that they start investigating business opportunities, then there's some segments of the business community that I could say, here are some businesses that make sense for you to have a conversation with to determine a fit. I affectionately call them businesses in a box. So there's businesses in a box that some people that might be franchised. There's some that are independent ownership type opportunities, or there might be independent licensee opportunities, but it's across 70 segments of business. So you think of any business category, chances are there's something that's already templated that would allow someone to become an independent owner operator of that business model and therefore create wealth and equity for themselves instead of somebody else.
That's fantastic. I know how hard it is to start a business from scratch, and I did it all myself with my husband's help, of course. But knowing a lot of the things that you probably are teaching these individuals would have been helpful from day one.
Yeah.
And we also noticed that you are hosting a Network Over 40 Atlanta group.
Yes.
So I'd love to hear more about that. We're all, I believe, in the studio over 40. So I'm assuming that you try to put together some of these folks who are interested in becoming entrepreneurs, and they can learn and help each other.
You know, and the ironic thing is that there's no pre-qualification other than if you are over 40 years old and you're and you have a desire to meet and connect with other individuals. The objective of this group is to get like-minded people across any segment of profession in a room together third Thursday every month from 6 to 9 p.m. with the objective being just get to know each other, establish a friendship that could evolve towards a relationship that might maybe evolve towards doing some business. And it's as simple as that. It's basically templated off the Atlanta Under 40 group, which was started by Dara Brustein. And so it's taking that demographic, eventually the under 40s, we all know this, and they don't think it will happen, but eventually they will be over 40.
And where do you host these events?
Well, the nice thing about the events that we host them at different venues inside the perimeters where we focus. So we had our recent event at the Commerce Club. We have an event coming up at the W Hotel in Midtown.
November 20th, right?
November 20th. Yeah. The Ritz-Carlton, it will be downtown Ritz-Carlton in December, holiday event. And then in January, we'll be at the Buckhead Club.
Perfect.
And, let's go ahead and mention that real quick. How do folks find about that particular event, the Over 40?
Well, if they just go to networkover40.com and then they go
there's
to...
there's other markets in other cities?
So they'll scroll down to cities Atlanta. And then they click on Atlanta and then they'll be able to get there from there.
Or Cartersville or... But... that's a great event. So, yeah, they won't let me in the under 40 anymore or whatever. Yeah,
like, it's the hair.
Come on,
it's
let's get real.
Hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you want to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
True, no. And so how many folks typically show up for that? What's the cost?
Well, if they register before the event, it's minimal. It's $10.
Oh, yeah.
And then if they register at the door, it's $20. And at that point, it's...
It's an open bar?
Open. Well, usually,
depending upon the venue.
The Commerce Club, when they hosted the first hour of the event, they did an open bar for the first hour. So every venue slightly different in regard to how they approach it.
But let's come back for a moment on the entrepreneur's source. So how many folks typically go the route of a, I don't know if this is a fair question, percentage-wise or ballpark, not say bricks and mortar, but a franchise or an established business that has a turnkey model, as opposed to saying, well, this is kind of a three-part question.
Yeah.
So that would be probably, I'm guessing, one scenario. The second would be like an existing business. If somebody says, hey, I built this up, and I'm ready to sell it, and Mark, you help broker the deal or make the introductions. And probably third would be, like in Joanne's case, is that the Simply Buckhead never existed, and she created it kind of from scratch. But you had some background up north in publishing, whatever,
right? Yeah, I'd been in the industry for 15 years on the advertising sales side. So,
but if you had approached Mark 5 years ago and you had this idea, right, it didn't exist. I mean, is that a fair three categories? Or
well, if anything, remember I talked about early on one of the outcomes from discovery is clarity.
Yeah.
And one of the outcomes, if we were together 5 years ago, would have been, okay, let's first figure out what your background is, skill set is, attributes are. Also, what are your entrepreneurial attributes that you possess, what you're dominant in, what you're weak in. And from there, you're able to discern, you know what, a pure startup or acquiring an existing business or a business in a box might be better suited for you.
Yeah, because you touched on your background may not be, you know, what you want to move forward with, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Or Joanne may not be interested in being a landscaper or whatever, right?
So, right.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, yeah.
And I think that one of the hardest things for me was that I knew that I understood the business, but I didn't know what those entrepreneurial skills were. I've learned it all over the last 5 years.
And that's a school of hard knocks.
Very much so.
That's why I share with people early on, I use the analogy of the space shuttle, is that if you look at the space shuttle when it was taking off at the launch pad, had the two huge booster rockets, then one huge tank on the base of it. And a third of the fuel for the two side tanks were used just to get the dang thing off the ground. And that's akin to starting a business. Many times people underestimate the resources, personal, financial, emotional resources it takes to start a viable business, which explains why 85% of people that start a business are out in 5 years.
Oh, yeah, easily, yeah. I mean, that's the big selling point for a turnkey, you know, package. It has a proven, has a proof of concept, has a customer base, and, you know, potentially all the resources. Yeah. So, Mark, I have to ask you about your button. Be contagious. Should we be alerted by our
actually, it's about be courageous.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oops.
Well, I guess I am over 40. I do need those glasses, Victor.
Well, you might think of Ebola, and that's probably influencing. It's all about Victor's influence.
Yeah. You know?
That's
what
it so is. It's be courageous.
All of a sudden, everybody's sitting a little further away from me. So be courageous. So is there an elevator one-liner behind that? What's
well,
that?
Well, remember I talked about 75%, 5%? Okay, yeah. The biggest reason why they don't
step
is
out
fear.
Of that fear zone,
so yeah. Being courageous is you can do it in an intelligent, educated way and make decisions that are going to be, in the long run, best suited for you.
Okay. I feel empowered listening to him.
Right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because knowing that I've done it myself is very empowering.
And also for our listeners to be able to just sit down with a gentleman like this and kind of get that insight, you know, without any cost or obligation. And then so in essence, though, then if you make that connection, that's where you make your money. So it's like a finder's
fee. So there's a referral fee. And then for those that don't, because you asked me how many don't, about a majority of folks that may go through it may not do something immediately.
Right.
But as I share with them, you're going to meet someone. You have a colleague or friend that's facing what you're facing. So make a recommendation.
And if they don't make a deal with you, at least you get a free lunch out of it or something, right?
Well,
we'll see. Okay, so speaking of lunches, we have our next guest in just a moment, but talking to us about food. But so, Mark, tell our listeners for your primary business, we talked about the event, but how to get in touch with you to find out about your services.
Well, the easiest way for you to get to know me and understand my background would be to go to linkedin.com/Mark, M-A-R-K, Myett, M-Y-E-T-T-E.
Well, pleasure having you here. Good to see you again. Yeah.
Thanks, Rich.
All right.
Well, fantastic. And I have the privilege of introducing our final guest, Steve Shimada. And I'm going to backtrack here just a moment. These two gentlemen sitting next to each other are both from Boston. And as a Rhode Islander, I can completely appreciate this.
Nice.
New Englanders
stick
together.
I'm from Miami. I'm just out over here by myself.
You know, I don't know. We don't meet many folks from New England in the Atlanta area. So it's always fun to see other folks who are from the same background. Steve is originally from Boston, currently in Smyrna, Georgia, and he is the owner of Whitehall Tavern, Red Door Tavern, and the Pennywise Room in Buckhead, which we understand is new.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's also a partner in VitaFlow, the hydration station, and I do know about that because I believe Kyle, one of our account executives, has reached out.
I got to hear about that one in a second. But go ahead.
Yeah. I definitely want to hear a little bit more about that, too, even though I know you're here to talk about the restaurants.
Okay.
But from what I understand, the Pennywise Room is your newest business venture. We'd love to hear about that.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Pennywise is a new side of what has been my existing bar, the Red Door Tavern, which has been in Buckhead for almost 11 years. As Buckhead has grown and changed over the last 5 years or so, more rapidly with all the expansion, it was time to do something a little different. So I wanted to do something that was absolutely new to Buckhead. No one had ever seen over there before. So we opened up the Pennywise Room, which is kind of the more sophisticated older sister of Red Door. Brick walls, copper top bar, and we did the entire floor in pennies.
This is what I heard about this. This is a trip.
It was the biggest undertaking I've taken in a long time in this business.
Right.
So it was about 180,000 pennies
on
the floor, and it was a headache. It took so much longer than I thought it was going to take, but it turned out amazing.
So it's sealed in epoxy, and you just have pennies all
it's
over the
sealed,
floor.
It's sealed. Every now and then you'll see one or two pop up, but it looks fantastic. You know when people have been there for the first time because they will literally walk in and hunch over and stare at the floor.
Yeah.
And they kind of just like, they're in awe. But it's a room that is very unique to the Buckhead area and the Buckhead bar scene. The bars started to become very generic and they all started looking alike. And as the age of Buckhead got younger and younger again, this was a room that was going to set us apart and put us back where we needed to be and appeal to a more sophisticated clientele with the resurgence of Buckhead and the high-end restaurants and boutiques that were opening up. this was going to be something that they could enjoy after a nice dinner, as opposed to going to a smoky, crowded, young post-college bar.
So 180,000 pennies. What is that, $18? Or what's
that? I wish.
$1,800?
I wish it was that inexpensive. Yeah. Oh,
so every penny has a story. Did you have friends donate them or whatever? Nope. I mean, how did you acquire that many pennies? Is this legal? Or
It is legal. Okay, it is legal. Good, I checked. I actually went to the bank, and I asked them. I said, I started out with $1,500. And I said, I need $1,500 in pennies, please. And they looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what do you need these for? Yeah. And I said, well, I lost a bet, and I'm paying my bookie back in pennies. And they looked at me, you're just a bad person.
Did they do one of these swarm, whatever? Yeah.
They really kind of looked at me. And when I got the pennies, it ended up being a little over a half a ton.
Wow.
So when they put them in the back of my pickup truck, it just dropped.
Oh.
And it was pretty incredible. I mean, I have pictures of it.
The bank actually had it.
They had to order it. It took 2 weeks for them to order them. So
we have money, we just don't have pennies. Yeah,
we just don't have pennies. Are not a very commonly used.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of them. Whatever. Yeah, they're all in place. And you said there's a couple missing or whatever, or is that people?
They pop up as people walk on them. Probably those high heel shoes, the stilettos.
People trying to pay their bar bill. I need a couple of pennies.
You'll see someone look down. They try to pick it up. They'll try to pick it up.
Especially once they start drinking or whatever.
Yeah. So it's.
I mean, that's a trip. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that.
I want to know a little bit more about the atmosphere inside as well. I mean, we know about the pennies. What else is going on inside there that we need to know about?
It's still. It's a very. If you've been to a bar in Buckhead at all recently, you've noticed that the age has gotten very young. Mm. This room is for my older clientele. My bars have always been a little bit older, late 20s to late 30s. This one is for that age group and even older. It's a very relaxed, laid back. It's no smoking, which I love after being in the bar business for 20 years. It's nice to leave and not smell like smoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was smoking left in any locations in the city. Are there?
You can smoke in bars. It's up to it's at the owner's discretion. Restaurants, however, if children under 21 are allowed in, then smoking is not prohibited. Not prohibited. So there are not a lot of bars in the Buckhead area that don't allow smoking. And I wanted this one to not have smoking. I think it's more and more people are going that route and not wanting to be in a smoke-filled bar.
Well, I can also appreciate the understanding you have of the changing demographic in Buckhead. Yeah. We've done quite a bit of research, and obviously with, over 8,000 apartment dwellings having started in 2012 and going through now, and even some new ones announced in the last few weeks, moving in through 2015, we're probably going to see close to 9,000 units total.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's not inexpensive to live in Buckhead. So these are upscale, sophisticated, a little bit older, but also families, couples, professional folks, and understand that your understanding of that is very key.
Well, I appreciate it. I've been in the Buckhead area working in the Buckhead area for about 15, almost 16 years. So I've seen how the neighborhood has changed and developed from when it was old Buckhead and when they leveled everything to now where it's the resurgence. And it's a very exciting time right now in the Buckhead area. So it's nice to kind of be on the cutting edge and to see the changes and kind of grow along with it.
Like Joanne said, I got a little caught up in the pennies thing, but we want to talk about the Red Door Tavern for folks that may not be familiar with it, in the Whitehall Tavern. But back up for a second. On a little bit of your background, you mentioned here at Buckhead for 16 years. I mean, how did you originally get involved in the restaurant business?
I've been, it's kind of ironic being around this table today. It's been, I wish I'd met some of these people early on, because this it would have been a great motivator for me. Yeah. But I've always been always had an entrepreneurial spirit. My father was an entrepreneur. He owned several businesses. But I've always loved the bar business. The bar business was something that just attracted me from a young age. And I had a corporate job out of college, worked it for a few years and realized that it was not for me. I didn't have the social aspect. I didn't like being locked into an office. And with the support of my family, especially my parents, it was, let's go out and, do what you want to do. And I managed bars for years. And then when it came time to finally, I had the courage to start my own.
Right, yeah.
It was, my father kind of gave me a kick in the pants and said, all right, if you're going to do it, then do it. And, 11 years ago, I did it, and it's been going good ever since.
So what was your first venture then? Was the
Red Door was actually my first bar that I owned.
And what's its story or unique?
Red Door was basically was birthed from me. It was my baby. I loved Buckhead. I'd worked there for years. I'd managed bars in Buckhead, and I loved the area, and I wanted to stay there, and I wanted to grow that area. And it came as it was a dream of mine to always own my own bar.
And for folks that haven't been there, what's what might they expect? I guess
it is almost the Cheers of Buckhead.
Okay,
you walk in and it is a friendly neighborhood bar. During the day, it is where a lot of business deals are done. Right. From beginning to end of bar, it's businessmen coming in. They'll talk about Georgia football, golf, and they'll do business. But it's a very relaxed place. You can come in a suit. You can come in sweats. It's a come as you are kind of place where everybody's welcome.
Terrific. Now, I also want to discuss something that ties back into what Vera was mentioning about being a charitable business. And I noticed that you are involved in Special Operations Warrior Foundation and Wounded Warrior Foundation, and you're a James Esker Foundation board member. Can you tell us what is the James Esker
Foundation? The James Esker Foundation was started about 4 years ago. One of my best friends from college and high school died. He had melanoma cancer, and he passed away. And we started a charitable organization to raise money for melanoma cancer research. He was also in the military, so a portion of that also goes to the Wounded Warrior Project. So along with several other friends from college and high school, we put this together, and we do an annual golf tournament, and we do an annual winter ball that all the money goes to melanoma research and the Wounded Warrior. The Special Operations Warrior Foundation is a new one. My brother actually is in the Army. He's currently serving in Dubai. He is under the special operations. He does psychological operations. And what that foundation does is it gives money to families of wounded or deceased servicemen in the special operations umbrella.
Terrific.
Well, and I saw that earlier before you came on the show. And actually, Ryan McPherson here, our engineer, tell us a little bit about we're doing a special show for veterans.
Yeah,
right?
November 11th coming up. We're doing an honor to veterans here in the community, both business and cause related. And so,
and one of the groups you reached out to, right, was the
Wounded Warrior Project. I'm an alumni of that organization myself, and so just was wondering, do you do events at your locations upon those organizations?
We do. We don't do scheduled events. We'll do a party in the fall. We'll do one in the spring, one in the summer. But since my brother, I do more now for the special operations because my brother is an active member of the special operations. That's one that I've been focusing on a lot more now. Wounded Warrior has grown very, very big.
Yeah, I know the Atlanta office just opened up earlier this year, and right here in Buckhead, even.
Yeah, in the financial center. Yeah. Yes.
And just real quick, maybe y'all can talk after the show, but certainly I think you have a spot for a couple other guests.
Yeah, November 11th, again, here on our Tuesday show, 10 a.m., we're looking for some other veterans, veterans organizations, or those folks out there who would like to support veterans to be on our special Veterans Day
show. I think we have
show.
Two more spots open, so we'd love, y'all can definitely chat about that.
Okay. They're both such great organizations, and they do such wonderful things for families and for the servicemen themselves. So they really are a great cause if someone...
Yeah, definitely. Glad to hear you're doing good things over there at all your establishments and honoring the veterans.
Thank you.
And I know Joanne's familiar with this VitaFlow, the hydration station, but tell us about that or whatever. You just go in there and get soaked with water, or how does that work? Do you get a hose down, or how does this work?
not quite like that, no.
Stand over here in the corner, Rich. We're going to hose you down.
No, I think it actually ties into the fact that he owns bar businesses.
Oh, okay.
There's a method to this.
It kind of worked out that way. That wasn't the intention. But VitaFlow is, we do IV therapy. We basically do it for anyone who comes in. If you are an athlete, if you're hungover, we are doing a lot more with, you know, CrossFit, partnering up with LA Fitness and gyms. You come in and we've got leather recliners, leather sofas, plasmas, TVs, and you come in and an EMT or a nurse will hook you up to a bag of IV. You can also get anti-inflammatory, anti-nausea, B12 shots, B-complex, and we're starting to expand our brand and starting to open up several more stores. We have two stores now currently, one in Buckhead across from Justin's, what was Justin's, and one in Town Brookhaven. Plan is to open up two more, one in Midtown and one in the Highlands.
So it's an actual bricks and mortar store you walk
bricks
into.
And mortar, yes, sir.
Do you do any mobile hydration?
Yes.
Actually, we do.
I'm into CrossFit, so I've done it a couple. I don't know if it was your company or not. I've been at events where I've done a few IVs to make me feel better. So.
We do make house calls. wow. We're actually looking to do a mobile unit. Mm-hmm. Almost
just
like
scared
an
me.
Ambulance.
Know, right.
And, well, I just drink coffee, whatever. I didn't know there was another option or whatever.
This is concierge hydration.
They said eight cups a day. I thought they were talking coffee, but no.
If you're hydrated, people don't understand how much hydration has to do with daily well-being. Yeah. It's good for your skin. It's good for your energy. It's good for, everything about your body circulates around water.
80%, right?
80% of your body is water. And, people don't consume enough water on a daily basis. And
speaking of dehydration, I think that's I drink coffee like all day, and you get dehydrated, big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People think that if they drink a lot of fluids, Coke.
Well, now we have to have you back for a health show. Yeah. Who knows, right?
Mark that on the calendar.
We might take that one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, looking for guests for Simply
Absolutely,
Buckhead Radio.
Absolutely, for our themes.
So we got a couple more minutes with Steve here, and then maybe it strikes us maybe to bring in, if you all have some notes, maybe some cross conversation here, little round table. But Steve, what else do we need to know? You're an avid motorcycle rider?
Yeah, that really doesn't...
You hesitate on that, so we're going to pass on. Yeah, so you've done that in the past.
My mother's not a huge fan of that. Okay. So.
And if she's listening, that would not be good.
She knows.
The Whitehall Tavern. Let's finish on this. Well, before I forget, I made a note here for Pennywise, over 40. Mark, you just found a new venue, right?
I made a note of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you very much.
But how many folks can you all hold there? Whatever.
Pennywise is... Unfortunately, Pennywise is not surf field. Whitehall does. Yeah. But Pennywise is probably about 55 to 70.
Okay, yeah.
Capacity. Nice.
But Whitehall holds a lot more. I don't know if I'm going to go out on a limb here again. Hopefully they haven't caused any issues or challenges there. But I've been somewhat active with the BBA. It's a Buckhead Business Group, the BBG. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they host their quarterly after hours functions there. I've been there. The food's great.
Yep.
Service is great. I always had a great time,
and
free parking. It's just, it's a great place to hang out. And and once a year they do like an annual, like a holiday event there as well. Yeah.
Yep, that's correct.
So they haven't caused any problems or situations?
No problems far. Cool. Everything is running pretty smooth. So I'd like to invite everybody to come down for lunch afterwards if you don't have plans already.
Nice.
But yeah, Whitehall, I opened up about 3.5 years ago. It is a former Cheyenne Grill.
Right.
It was kind of in a state of disarray at the time, and we took it over and turned it around.
It's a Peachtree Battle.
Peachtree Battle Shopping Center, right across from the Publix. And it's a great location. The area is fantastic. Yeah. The Peachtree Hills, Peachtree Battle. We've become a very welcoming neighborhood spot.
Yeah.
Families, we're very kid-friendly, family-friendly. We've got a game room to the side, so if you come in with your children, they have things to do as opposed to just bothering you.
There's a huge patio. It's like about the size of the entire restaurant inside.
Huge patio.
It's like
dog-friendly as well. Bring your pets. Yeah. We've got plenty of dog bowls and dog treats. But we try to make it as warm and comfortable as possible because that area was lacking a place for families to come and bring their kids. There was a lot of high-end restaurants, but not anything you could do with your entire family together.
Yeah.
You got me on the pets. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Well, let's jump in some closing comments here, whatever. So, pets, tell us your pet story, Victor.
We have a little dachshund named Molly. So, my wife's always wanted to take the dog with us, so we might be showing up eventually.
Come by anytime, please.
Nice.
And we actually have our January-February issue is about kids and pets. So, you definitely sparked some interest in me for passing that one along too.
Yeah. Well, now we got another show, pets show, pet radio.
There you go.
So Mark, you've been taking some notes there or whatever. I think you and Victor will have some interesting conversations.
I'd like to ask Mark a question.
Okay,
can you talk about more? We've gone through the process, Joanna, she's gone through the process of starting her own business. Talk about the difficulty that mental hurdles that people have to go through. Maybe some of the people you've worked with what are some of the challenges? I think that people want to hear stuff like that, I think.
Well, that's a good question because the most important thing, people need to have an open mind as they go through discovery, because sometimes people have very closed minds about what they did and how that influences what they'll do in the future. So part of it is having an open mind and also being open to new concepts or ideas. Schmidt, who runs Google, spoke at a commencement address. His advice for the graduates was be open to yes. So if you're presented with an opportunity, don't be so close-minded to say no, not interested. Because 95% of the people that eventually move forward with something move forward with a concept they would not have considered before doing the discovery.
One of the things I've noticed about people, and tell me if this is true, just in general, starting your own business, is that we as human beings have this nasty tendency to always amplify an event that was negative in our lives, mm-hmm. but we diminish all the positives. So, for example, right. if you're a parent, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, you just kind of not yelled at your kid, but you just snapped a little bit, like, sit down. And then you're like, oh, why did I do that, right? And now, for the rest of the year, you just did great things with your kids. You know, took them to Disneyland, all these wonderful things. But a year later, all you remember is you snapped at your kid. Mm-hmm. And we have a tendency to amplify the past, all the negatives. And I think sometimes that hurts us when we move forward, because that's all we think about.
And that's what caused, that's the basis, part of the basis of our fear, is past experience or experiences from family members, loved ones that want to protect you from making the same mistake that Uncle Fred did when he started business and he lost everything.
But it's amazing, though. Once you hit it good, then they're all like, we knew it all along, right?
You were destined.
Right, exactly, yeah. So, Vera, maybe tell us, do you have a second to mention some of the sponsors that might be currently involved, or who is your ideal sponsor that you're looking for, I guess?
Yes, we do currently have some sponsors that are involved, and they include Herman Morris Law Group, the Merriman Criminal and Family Law Group, T. Dallas Smith, GABWA, which is the Georgia Association of Black Women Attorneys. And then we also have Uniquely Virtual and several other sponsors that have donated some auction items.
Okay.
We are still in need of, I hate to say this, but a liquor sponsor.
Spirits,
adult beverages.
Adult, yes. We want to do a wine bar, and we're actually, that's like the almost the last thing on our list that we don't have. And we're trying to make sure that all ticket sales go to the fund. And so the tickets are $50, but we're looking to, our goal is to raise $5,000, which in my world as an attorney, that's like, you know, 10 hours worth of work. Well, no, it's not like 10, but
Hour, yeah. just round it out to an hour. Yeah.
But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we're looking to raise $5,000, and I'm hoping that the community will turn out and that we'll have be able to give that money, the ticket sales, to the fund, because that $5,000 could be somebody's rent for a month.
Oh, big time.
Or,
and their,
you know,
bills,
somebody,
their water, the
right.
utilities, whatever, right?
Exactly. And so we don't want to have to take any money away from the ticket sales to cover costs.
Right.
And so we're almost there as far as, you know, breaking even, but we really do need to push ticket sales. And people can find us on Eventbrite under Pink Pump Soiree. And again, the tickets are $50, and it's November 6th at the Emrich Center from 6:30 to 9.
And I was doing the math on the 10 hours, whatever. I'm the guy that also thought $18,000 was $18. I'm not the math genius I thought I was. Yeah, no, just mess with you. But seriously, we may have some introductions for you. I didn't realize all the legal sponsors that you have. We have a great show. We just had this morning at 8 o'clock.
That's right.
Our Atlanta Legal Experts Radio.
ALE.
Yes.
ALE, which is AL Radio. Yeah, that was by intent because they spent all the time at the bar or whatever. Yeah, so maybe they can donate some liquor as well. I don't know. Just trying to make things happen for you, Vera.
Thank you. Our attorneys are actually turning out in full force, but you know, there's still some things that we need.
Maybe we could have you. I can't speak on behalf of the underwriter or the host, whatever, but I'll certainly put a shout out. Do they still say shout out?
Oh yeah.
That was a close one. Yeah, but
I just think lawyer and liquor in the same sentence. Wrong.
Well, it's Atlanta Legal Experts, so AL Radio. But yeah, but the what was I saying? But yeah, maybe they might be interested to have you all on the show, since there's so many legal organizations involved. Mm-hmm. Maybe some reach out to them for some additional sponsorship, or at least help get the word out in your message, whatever.
And we've also noticed kind of a trend in that industry. There are several other legal firms that I know of here in Buckhead who put together their marketing team with maybe a cause that one of their team members was very much involved with, and they're hosting their own events. The one that comes to mind is Morris Manning and Martin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They hosted an event last year for Cure Childhood Cancer, and then they hosted again this year for Kate's Club. So there are other attorneys who are absolutely involved in charity, and that is a good tie-in.
Oh, that's a good things. And so I can't believe the time just flew by. We're almost out of time. It was a great show, and we just we had so much fun in the studio. I mean, every week we just learn some great stuff, meet some interesting folks, and we got some new shows in the works, and we're very excited. Speaking of a new show, Simply Buckhead Radio. Are you ready, Joanne?
Totally ready. We're extremely excited to be partnered with Business Radio X, and I think our readers will also become listeners, and we'll be helping to spread the word.
Absolutely, yeah. We're thrilled to have you on board, and so tune in next Tuesday, the 4th.
At 2 p.m.
At 2 o'clock, we'll be here, and you'll have your folks here, and just like us, you're always looking for interesting company leaders with compelling stories to tell in Buckhead, so we'll get, obviously, it's been all over social media. We'll continue getting the word out. Thanks again to all of our guests for being here, and Rich Casanova signing off on another spectacular show. Maybe our best. We'll see how next week goes. Yeah, but so far our best. Yeah. Thanks again. See y'all.
Thank you.